It's time now for the Interpulpit Radio Blast with missionary and pastor Rick Bell. Teaching truth from God's Word that you can use now and not just for the hereafter. And now, here's Rick with today's blast.
We've been talking about Christianity or Christ, and we're not talking about Christianity anymore. Why? Because Christianity is an ism, like Buddhism, Confucianism, Mohammedism, whatever you want to call Islamism. I guess they don't say that. But it's that kind of thing, and it's not Christianism we're talking about, but it's Christianity. And we would rather use the term the Christian faith. And I've been talking about why, and hopefully you'll listen to the previous sessions. But I want to finish up here with what I read about in a history book, a Christian history book. And as I was reading one of these Christian history books a while back, I was just fed up and disgusted with all the atrocities that were committed by the quote-unquote church or by the quote-unquote Christians. And they put it all under the heading of the spread of Christianity. Christianity was spreading through the empire this way, and all these horrible acts were happening. There was the Inquisition. There were other things like that, things that ought not to be part of the Christian faith. There is a difference between Christianity and the Christian faith. And even many of the great Christian heroes of the past, who we won't bring up names, they did some good things for Christianity, and yet they acted in ways that were not consistent with the Christian faith. The Christian faith would not persecute and kill and burn at the stake heretics, as some did. The Christian faith would not advocate persecuting Jews, as some of them did. The Christian faith would not drown other Christians and say, okay, you want to be baptized, let's see how you do with drowning. All right, all these things were done in the name of Christianity, but they were inconsistent with the Christian faith. So I've come up with a definition for Christianity. The Christianity, in Bell's theology book, which hasn't been published yet and probably will never be published, Christianity is the practice of those who call themselves Christians, okay? Think about it. It's the practice of those who call themselves Christians. So this may include or not include actual Christian faith, or it may include or not include the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a spread of Christianity, and it could be a good thing. We talk about Christianity is growing in China. Well, it is, and that's good. We understand what we're saying here. I'm just saying it's better not to say Christianity because we're not trying to convert China to Christianity. We're trying to convert people to Christ. We're trying to get people into a living relationship with a Savior who loves them, with a Savior who can make a difference in their lives, with a Savior who can speak to them and lead them and shepherd them, with a Savior who can heal them, with a Savior who can deliver them out of any evil work, out of any evil temptation, with a Savior who can make any bad thing work out for their good in the long run, with a Savior who can heal wounds, who can bind up the brokenhearted, and who can bring forth victory out of victimization, who can bring forth a triumph out of a trial. You know, we can go through all that stuff. We are talking about a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him because he always lives, making intercession for him. I'm stumbling over my words because I'm excited. Hebrews 7:25, Jesus can get your tongue to stumble because we're expressing truths that are inexpressible. We can't do justice to Jesus just by the words we preach and speak. And we know it in our hearts. We know it in our spirit. And eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That means you can't talk about it. You don't really know how to put it into things, but he has revealed them to us through his spirit. We know. A lot of people don't recite that part, the verse that comes after that, but we know these things by his spirit. We know in our spirits, and you know when you're hearing me, your spirit is witnessing and saying, amen, yes, I know this. This is something, and we know that Jesus is wonderful, and we just to say Jesus is wonderful seems like a trivial way to put it, doesn't it? I pray the Holy Spirit just magnify the things we speak of Jesus, whether it's you or me or whoever we're talking to, that their ears are open. We're talking about ears being open, ears hearing, and that includes whoever we're talking to, but it includes us as well. and seeing. I've been talking about 1 John chapter 1, and he's talking about that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He wasn't saying, hey, I knew Jesus in the beginning, and he was right there, and we saw him and felt him and touched him and squeezed him and everything. No, because that's not what you need. You don't need him physically present to hear, see, and feel. He's talking about the spiritual reality, the spiritual quickening that came through the receiving of the word. The word was with God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what he says. The word was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We declare to you that eternal life. He's talking about, he wasn't saying, we declare to you that we were with Jesus. No, because it wasn't a we were with Jesus. In the third verse, he says that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the first three verses in 1 John chapter 1, he's talking about seeing and hearing and handling the word of life and declaring to you that eternal life. He wasn't talking about I was with Jesus. Now, we know that John was with Jesus, and he could have easily have used those kind of words. He could have said, hey, I want to tell you about this guy I was with, and I want to tell you how special he is, and you just want to listen to me and believe me. Isn't that what we do, folks? A lot of Christians, a lot of us just fall into this. Here's what the Bible says, and this is what I want you to believe about this, about this, about this. And this is what I had in the past. God showed me this in the past. Nothing wrong with that, but let me tell you what, John is not doing that here, and we don't need to just do that. We want to talk about what's fresh right now. We want to talk about the fellowship. John was saying we have fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't say, my fellowship was with him. I was with him when he was here. Did you know I walked with him and I talked with him and he was with me? No, he's saying my fellowship is with Jesus Christ. We have seen, felt, and heard the word of life. And that word of life, as we read in John chapter 15, he says, abides in us. Abide in, let my words abide in you. Abide in me, let my words abide in you. You will have whatever you ask. Jesus said that. The word of life abides. Jesus' physical body did not abide on this earth. And yet the word abides. The word can abide not just on this earth, but in you and me. And not only that, it can be activated by the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked the earth for 30 to 33 years, and the Holy Spirit's been here for more than 2,000 years and hasn't left. The Holy Spirit is right here with us. The Holy Spirit's in on this broadcast right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in my life. The Holy Spirit can be in your life. The Holy Spirit does not leave us or forsake us the minute we mess up. Can I get an amen? Because we've been sealed. If you put your faith in Jesus, he has sealed you in that new covenant by his precious blood. The living Savior, not someone who just died 2,000 years ago and is no longer around. He's here right now through his Spirit, and his blood is still active and cleansing by his Spirit. This is what makes the good news such good news. I can't do better than that. You can't do better than that. You can't get better news than a living Savior he's interceding. See, I'm getting caught up with my words again because I'm so excited. You can't get better than a Savior who always lives to intercede for you. It's the blood of Jesus, the gift that was given to you at the cross. It's the gift that keeps on giving, friends. Why is it that some of us beat ourselves up because we think, oh man, we blew it again. Oh man, I got to go beat myself up before God's going to bless me again. I got to go and weep and wail before I can expect my prayers to be answered. You got it wrong, folks. That might be Christianity, but that's not Christ. Christ is a living Savior, and he intercedes always for us. And that thing that you just messed up with, it's already under the blood. You're going to receive it. You're going to believe it. You're going to take it. You're going to go with it. You're going to run with it. The bill's been paid. Why are you trying to get your wallet out and trying to add to the bill? It's not about adding to the bill. It's about resting. It's about finding peace in him. And that's the good news of the gospel. And that's the fellowship with the Son. That's the fellowship with the Father. We're not talking about knowing about the good news. We're talking about being in the good news, having the good news. And so we don't have to witness to people and say, well, I want you to believe this is something that's good for you. And no, it's better to go witness and say, hey, man, do you know what's happened? I've been changed. I've been blessed. And I know the living God, the one who is from the beginning. The things that I deal with on earth are just temporary. The things I'm going to deal with forever are glorious. And you know what? You want in on this? John was basically saying, do you want in on this with us? John was saying, that which we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Why would anyone want to have fellowship with the Apostle John? He was exiled. He was put out to Patmos. He was persecuted. The Christians were suffering under persecution at the time. The apostles were considered the scum and refuge of the earth. Why would anyone want to have fellowship with people like this? Why would you want to enlist your name in this? Why would you want to be put out of the synagogue if you were a Jew? Why would you want to be a part of this? And that's the secret of the good news. The secret of the gospel is what he says. You may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, what is that? What is all the pain and payment you're going to make for the gospel's sake? What is the suffering for the gospel's sake? In fact, Jesus said, blessed are those who suffer for the sake of the gospel. Rejoice. Great is your reward. If you're suffering for the sake of the gospel, it's time to rejoice because you are achieving something quite honorable and you're achieving a glory that's being prepared for you. And not only that, it's not what's to come. It's not how it's going to be vindicated, but it's that truly your fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, brother, I'm having such a hard time. Well, get into fellowship with God, get into fellowship with Jesus, and your hard time will become easier. It's really that simple. Well, it's not so simple always to get into fellowship with him because we have an enemy that wants to distract us. We have a world that wants to distract us. We have our flesh that wants to distract us. We have our appetites. We want to do things. We don't want to sit still long enough to be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. And that's what I'm trying to say here, folks. It's worth it. You need to push forth. This is a day and age that creation is groaning and waiting for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. This is the time when we have to become serious. It's not just about Christianity anymore. Oh, my religion's Christianity. Oh, yeah, I believe in Christianity. No, it's time where we need to declare to people that they might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Who do you know? I mean, you might boast in knowing someone famous. You might boast in knowing someone powerful, but who do you really know? Who do you hang out with? Who's in your elite group? Or are you part of an elite group? Well, if your fellowship is with the Father and Jesus Christ, you are of the highest elite. You know, I think it's funny. A lot of people get upset with conspiracy theorists, and they talk about an elite, a secret elite that's running things behind the government, that's really controlling the media and the entertainment industry and all that. And you know what? I might go with you and say there is an elite running. It's a spiritual elite. It's Satan and his principalities and powers. There is an elite force that is ruling in this present world. But the Lord in heaven laughs. The Lord's going to bring the council of the nations to naught. The Lord is going to have his way, and the Lord is the highest of the highest. He is the elitist of the elite, and what he says is the final authority. What he says goes, and we don't have to worry about the secret rulers of this present age and what's going on in the conspiracy theories and things like that. It's fun to look at, but don't get too much into that because it'll screw you up. Don't get too much into evil. Don't get too much into the knowledge of evil. You have to know so much, but you don't have to go far into it, because once you do, it's like eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It'll get you down. It'll take you into the realm of the cursed territory. Doesn't mean bad things will happen to you, but it means you might have a struggle. It ruins your fellowship with God. Be innocent of things evil. Be excellent at things which are good. Focus on the word. Incline your ears to my words. It says in Proverbs 4, let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. And that's what John was talking about in 1 John chapter 1 when he said, we have heard and we have seen and we have looked upon and handled concerning the word of life. You see, hear, and handle the word of life, who is Jesus, who is eternal life, spiritually and in fellowship. Handling means walking it out, acting on it, keeping it in the midst of your heart. And hearing and seeing is by spiritual ears hearing and spiritual eyes being enlightened. You have everything you need. You've got the Word of God and you've got the Holy Spirit to help you. That which was from the beginning. That means you are grounded and established, and he's also the end. Jesus said, I'm the beginning and the end. Get yourself in that position and stand above the elite rulers of this world.
You've been listening to Rick Bell, author of the Interpulpit blog. For more teachings and information on Rick's ministry, please visit interpulpit.com. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and rejoice. Jesus is coming soon, and he's even with you now.